You're now tuned to the Business and Technology Show, episode 101. Let's get started. Hey, how's it going, everybody? ET here in wonderfully sunny but chilly San Antonio, Texas. Another episode of the Bat Show, Business and Technology Show, starting. So not much really going on in the world in my life. Just still looking around, trying to get some employment here in the San Antonio area. And other than that, just surfing the web, listening to lots of podcasts, watching lots of videos, and et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so let's get into the stories today. First story of the day that I thought was kind of interesting was that Samsung is trying to get into some of the Silicon Valley mojo. They're trying to get a little bit of that mojo for themselves. So this was reported on All Things D from their D:Drive Into Media conference. And they interviewed David Yum. And he basically mentioned that they're opening up in an office and they're going to have an incubator type thing. But the people that actually are going to be working there as quote-unquote startups will be basically Samsung employees. So they're going to be independent, but not independent. And there's a good video. I'll link it up in the show notes. You should check it out if you're interested in seeing what Samsung has to do. But another thing they were mentioning is that they've been doing really good with their hardware. And their software has been pretty good as well. But they know that a weakness exists in the connection between the hardware and the software, and they want to encourage people to, you know, think out of the box, basically. Instead of being a big corporation, they want small, scrappy startup teams to work on different products that eventually will get rolled into the old Samsung experience. But I thought that was an interesting read, and especially since Samsung is basically at the top of their game right now. They're kicking butt, yeah. In the mobile space, in the TV space, and tablets and as well. So pretty good. Anyways, I'll link it up in the show notes. Samsung wants some Silicon Valley mojo. Second story of the day is interesting. Recently, there's been a lot of companies, a lot of video companies moving into the LA area. And first, we had YouTube opening up their facility, which is called the YouTube space. It's located in LA. It's designed, you know, it's like a studio that gives space for YouTubers or creators of content for YouTube to actually have a facility to do it, you know, a high-tech, state-of-the-art facility. And now it looks like Microsoft has some plans of their own. They're going to be launching an interactive TV studio, well, Microsoft's Los Angeles Studios, and they're going to be working on interactive TV, which will be used on the Xbox platform, Xbox Live platform. And this is kind of interesting. If you remember in the past, Microsoft has tried to do the video thing. I think Channel 9, they have, might still exist, that kind of came out. And they hired Chris Perla to do a little bit of video for them over there in Seattle, Bellevue, Redmond area. But now they're moving into LA, and they have, looks like 150 positions filled already, and they're going to be developing content. And interestingly, they're going to do some interactive stuff, and of course using the old Xbox and the Kinect. So that should be cool to see how that actually works out. But we'll be keeping our eyes on them and see what goes around over there. And I wonder if anybody else is going to be moving down there. But the funny thing is, you really don't need to be in Hollywood. I mean, I guess there's a lot of unemployed talent in Hollywood, so maybe that's in, you know, the Los Angeles area. So a lot of actresses and actors who are basically waitresses and waiters trying to get their break into the market. But so I guess there's enough actors, actresses, and technical people that, you know, supporting ancillary type positions that support the production of video. So yeah, I guess it's a good place as any to do it, but you really don't need to. I mean, this Twit is in Petaluma, a really small city in California, Northern California. GFQ is in Queens. Livid Lobster, the Kelly Lewis and John P. Studio is in Dallas. Film Riot's in Dallas now. So it really doesn't matter where you actually put up camp. But it's interesting that Microsoft and YouTube felt like it was a good place to put up camp near, you know, in the LA area. Okay, next story. Let's move on to a little bit of Apple news. Apple, there's several stories. Number one, let's get this watch story out of the way. All on CNBC, all on the web, there's just rumors and rumors that Apple is making a watch. And I'm going to go on record here. Today is Wednesday, February 13th, 2013. I do not think that Apple is going to make a watch. Maybe they'll be making some kind of wearable computer, but I don't think it's going to be a watch. I might have to eat my shoe if I'm wrong, but as it stands right now, I think these rumors are way blown out and possibly misleading information was disseminated by Apple or others. But yeah, I'm just not feeling it. I'm not feeling, because I don't wear a watch. Nobody I know wears a watch. My dad wears a watch. He's just used to it. But anybody with a smartphone usually doesn't wear a watch. And I actually bought a watch recently and I've worn it like 5 times in the last 2.5 months. So that shows you it's just not a good thing. Yeah, I don't think. Now, the Nike Fuel Band or something like that. Yeah, that's more like it. So, you know, if Apple would have done something like that, that had, you know, your text messages or emails or notifications showing up in, you know, the little LED lights on the Fuel Band or something like that, that'd be kind of cool. But it's hard to say. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what comes up. I mean, will it be a Fitbit type thing? Will it be a Fuel Band, Jawbone type thing? We'll see. Anyways, another story is Apple still continues to dominate the mobile video platform. And this one comes from TechCrunch. So 60% of all views are from iOS and 32 from Android and the rest from other, you know, devices. So probably a little bit of Windows phone. And what else is out there mobile? So there's iOS, there's Android, there's Windows Phone, and now there's Blackberries. Yeah, 60 to 30, you know, that's what, 92% taken away by Android, and of course iOS on the heavier side was 60%. But they're still kicking butt, let's just face it. Even though there's been a lot of inroads with different types of other phones, the number one and still dominating is iOS at 60%, with other OSs such as Android. Android's at 32, and the rest are picking up the crumbs. Windows Mobile. Next story. So the Microsoft Surface Pro Windows 8. Oh, wait, let's see if we can get that right. Microsoft Surface with Windows 8 Pro is out. And there's a couple of good reviews. One on Paul Theroux's site, Super Site for Windows, and one on The Verge. Both of them have a lot of pictures and videos, so I recommend, if before purchasing, definitely go over there and read and listen to what they have to say. I don't think I'll be buying any of these Windows 8 tablet-type things, though I wouldn't mind having the next gaming PC that I plan on building. I wouldn't mind having a touchscreen, like 27-inch monitor. Of course, the cost of those are a little bit high, but eventually, when the prices get down a little bit, it'd be nice to have touchscreen on pretty much every computer I own. At least that's what I'd like to have. So, yeah. But Surface Pro, are you going to buy? Are you not going to buy? I definitely won't buy the RT, at least at its current state. If they rev it a little bit in, you know, maybe version 2 or 3, possibly. But right now, it's just not ready for prime time, in my opinion. And also, the Windows Surface Pro is a battery hog. It's basically a laptop, and it's running an Intel x86 CPU, so you have to be close to a charging outlet, basically, to have much life. So you can expect, I guess, the same as a normal laptop. 3 to 4 hours, I would guess, and not much disk space. It has an SSD drive. And a good percentage of it is actually taken up by the OS. So the good thing is there's external micro SD card slots, so you can bump it up to, you know, 64, 128, whatever the max is these days. But yeah, are you going to buy a Surface 8 Pro, or at least the current one? Or are you going to wait for one of the other Dell or Asus or HP to push theirs out and see if they can do it better? That's a good question. Next story. This is a story. I'm being a little bit selfish here. I'm pushing this story about Line. Line is it's a social messaging app kind of thing. I don't know if it's called social, but basically you can do free calls and free messages over the internet. And Line was made by Naver, N-A-V-E-R. And you can find it at line.naver.jp/en, which I'll put in the show notes. So basically on your on your Windows PC, Windows Phone, Mac, iOS, Android, you can download this app and you can do free calls, free messages, send videos, send pictures, et cetera, et cetera. And it's free. The interesting thing is they just pushed over the 100 million mark recently of active users. And this is huge in Japan, Korea, and recently I read an article about it in Hong Kong as well. So I thought I'd turn you guys on to this and get you guys started. So you'll be ahead of the game when everyone else jumps on this platform. But it's called Line, L-I-N-E. And when you go to the store, there's a Line app, there's a Line sketch, and there's a Line something else. So the one you really need is the Line app. The other ones are kind of like ancillary supporting apps where you can create extra stuff. And then it sends it over to Line. Then you send it to your friends. But it's free, and there's virtual gifts like icons and stickers and things you can send to your friends. So I'm assuming they make a pretty decent chunk of change because people really get into customizing their text messages with their friends. So it's pretty cool. I like it. And that one is called Line, L-I-N-E. Next story, GoDaddy, infamous GoDaddy. If you saw their Super Bowl commercial where the chubby geek gets to kiss the supermodel, it was pretty cool. I mean, the close-up was maybe a little disgusting to some people, but I thought it was effective. Lots of people talked about it. Controversy, bad press is the same as good press when you're trying to get press. But anyways, totally on a different tangent, GoDaddy just picked up M. Dot for its mobile strategy. Basically, M. Dot, I guess, is a company that had a mobile website creating software. And GoDaddy has a lot of services that most people don't hear about. Most people just use their domains and their hosting, but there's so many things. They have newsletters, Website Tonight, SSL, and a whole bunch of others. So to go along with their normal website creation solutions that they have, they picked up this MDOT for its mobile website, production or producing software. And I thought that was pretty interesting that GoDaddy is actually going in that direction as well. Interestingly, the reason why I picked this, I thought it was interesting, but also most designers these days are going with a one design fits all philosophy that, you know, no matter how big it's scaled or how small it's scaled, it's the same design. I think it's active. What is it called? I forgot the name of it. I'll put it in the show notes. Active design or whatever, something like that. But so it kind of makes me wonder, maybe MDOT has this technology down better than the old school Website Tonight type technology. Because if you load those up on a smartphone or on a tablet, they end up looking kind of clunky. So possibly MDOT had the technology that they wanted to, have it scale from large screen to small screen. But interesting. I'll put it in the show notes if you want to check it out. Next, funny that today I watched an interview with Justin Kahn from Justin TV fame and Twitch fame and social cam fame. And now he has this EXEC service. And they just opened up. They've been doing San Francisco. So basically for $25, people will run your errands for you, get coffee, clean your apartment. It's $25 an hour. And now they went to, they opened up a cleaning service, housework service in the Seattle area. So that was kind of interesting. And the article on TechCrunch actually talks about that housework makes up 50% of their sales. So they figured, hey, might as well, the next city we open up in, we might as well start with the housework part of it and then maybe roll in the other parts of it, the coffee getting, the errand running part of it. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And I'm a fan of Justin since his Justin TV days. He's pretty funny. But he's smart and they launch quick. And I think this is probably potentially be their biggest company of all. So, and of course, at the interview, the person asking the questions was asking them, you know, do you vet your employees? How can you trust these people? And they had like a two or three step interview process that kind of tries to filter out the crazy psycho people. But I think that'll probably, as long as they can keep their employees top quality, their customer service top quality, which he was saying the most important thing was for everyone to have a pleasant experience. So $25 an hour, pretty interesting. North Korea. Last time we had North Korea on the show talking about the Google Maps being turned on, and now North Korea decides to do another underground nuclear test, pissing off Japan, South Korea, and now previously China wasn't that pissed off. But recently, China kind of warned them, saying, hey, if you guys do this, it's kind of like, we gave you a couple chances, a couple tests, but now that's enough. You know your stuff works, so there's no reason to keep doing it. And China's a little pissed off. But I'll link it up in the show notes, and there's a nice article on The Verge. You can read up about it. But yeah, hopefully it doesn't mess up that part of the world too much. I think most people ignore North Korea, which is why they probably do these tests anyway. So I don't know how to solve this problem, but I don't know if more sanctions will actually help, because there's been sanctions for so long that you know, it's just like, yeah, whatever, we don't care, FUN, we don't care. So maybe going a different route of not having sanctions will turn the situation into a different one, or whatever. There's other options I probably wouldn't want to discuss on this show, but Next story was cool. Minecraft is just everywhere. It's on the Xbox. It's on iOS. It's on Android. It's on the PC. Is it on PlayStation? It's possibly even on PlayStation. I'm not sure about that. But so now they released a version for the Raspberry Pi, which is that small, cheap $35 computer that usually runs Linux, a version of Linux. So, and it's free. I thought that was really awesome of a Mojang over there. So pretty cool. The $35 Raspberry Pi will run this version of Minecraft. And I think it's kind of like it's called the Pi Edition. It's pi.minecraft.net. You can get it and download it. So pretty cool. Makes me want to just go out and buy another one of these Raspberry Pis just for Minecraft and other, little games like that. So next story just came out. There were rumors about this story about a week ago or so on TechCrunch, but GDGT, which is called Gadget. Gadget is a site where you can check for ratings on gadgets that people bought. Gadget was a site developed by two people that used to work at Engadget, and they decided they didn't need another tech blog with, competing to be the fastest one to put out the most news, et cetera, et cetera. So they said, what could we do in the gadget space that we really liked? So they decided to make a community that had if you buy something, you say what you bought, you give your opinions on it, your ratings on it, what was good, what was bad. So it started to build a really big database of tech gadgets, and AOL just sucked them in. And the rumors are that it's a 7-figure payday. But the two guys, Peter Rojas and what is his name? I forgot his other guy's name. Anyways, Peter Rojas and his partner in crime are going to be working at AOL now and to keep developing this out and using that technology that they built in other parts of the AOL media empire. So pretty cool. Kudos to them. And if I remember correctly, I think Jason Calcanis was actually an investor. Oh, yeah, actually, it's True Ventures, Jason Calcanis, Mo Kaufman and Spark Capital actually were in there. So pretty interesting that J. Cal, who actually started Weblogs Inc. where they were working for him, invested in two guys that he knew were quality guys, and luckily they got the nice big payout. So kudos to the Gadget team. That is awesome. Okay, and the next story was kind of interesting one that just came out in the news. It looks like Autodesk has a new app, and it's called 123D Creature. And this is a really cool little app that allows you to create creatures, monsters, little digital 3D modeling type thing. And you can do it by pinching, grabbing, rotating a virtual digital clay type stuff. And it ends up turning into kind of a whatever your imagination can do, changing colors, changing textures, and things like that. So it looks pretty awesome, and I think I'm going to have to check it out. Let me see exactly. Is it free? Is it free? Give me a second while I open up iTunes, which takes about 20 years these days. And that's a whole nother story about how bloated iTunes is these days. They need to spin off the App Store. Actually, it'd be better if they did the media on one and then the apps on another. That would be nice, but, you know, that'll probably never happen. Okay, we're accessing iTunes Store, and the price is $1.99. It's called 123D Creature. And it's available on the iPad. Looks pretty awesome, actually. So basically, you can set up kind of a skeletal wireframe, and then there's like a gooey clay type surface on top of that you can kind of stretch out and then change colors of, and turn it, of course, if you're a decent artist, which probably will take some time, you can turn it into something pretty awesome. And it's $1.99 for a limited time, so I have a feeling that's going to bump up. So if you're interested in this type of stuff, then go on over and check it out. And if not, if you want something free, just get Blender. Blender's only available on desktops, but it's something you can do something similar, but not as easy. But I thought that was pretty interesting. Again, that's by Autodesk, and it's 123D Creature. Okay, now this was something that got a lot of press on the internet today, and it looks like Opera is going to be changing to the WebKit to base their next browser on a WebKit instead of their own engine. And some people like this, some people don't. As you know, or might not know, that Apple developed WebKit for Safari, and then Chrome started using it. So Chrome and Safari use it, and any web view in iOS uses WebKit, as well as in Android, I'm pretty sure. Microsoft has their own engine, and Opera used to have their own engine, but now, well, they still do, but now they're going to make a gradual change over to using WebKit. So a lot of people were kind of irritated at this because, you know, it's good to have innovation instead of everyone using the same thing. Well, actually, innovation can happen in both ways, but because there was different there are different engines, it's kind of pushed different browsers to kind of have to develop, but it's become harder and harder for Opera to kind of compete. But so they're going to actually start incorporating WebKit into their browser, their desktop and mobile browsers. And again, they said this will be a gradual transition. And I'll link up to the article in the show notes for you. But for me, this is kind of a doesn't really matter type thing because I don't actually use Opera. I always keep at least, well, Safari comes with OS 10, so Safari, Firefox, Chrome. And I found with three browsers that there wasn't necessarily a need to actually have Opera. But in the past, I've used it. It's nothing wrong with it. It's just I found that I don't need it. I got enough. I usually use Chrome, fall back on Firefox, and if that doesn't work, then I use Safari if I have to. So with the, you know, trifecta of browsers, there wasn't really a need for me to have another browser, though their mobile browser is really sleek and pretty cool. So again, Opera is going to be using WebKit, and we'll see what comes of that. It should be interesting. Okay, and the last story of the day is from the iFixit guys. And it looks like they got their grubby paws on the old Microsoft Surface Pro, and they took it apart. And the interesting thing was that after removing about 90 screws in total, and de-sticking or delaminating a bunch of goopy glue that kind of held the thing together. They come to the conclusion that this gets a 1 out of 10 for repairability. Basically, if you look at the pictures in the article I'm going to link up to, you can see that this thing is sealed tight with glue. So it took them a while to actually get it actually apart. Get the screen away from the base of the computer itself. I mean the tablet itself. So pretty interesting. They also say that if you plan on trying to, if you are brave enough to actually take this thing apart and you want to upgrade the SSD, there's a risk of actually damaging some of the cables on the logic board, connecting to the logic board. So basically they're saying don't do it. Just use the micro SD for the extra memory. It's not worth the hassle. It's actually not worth the hassle of actually taking this thing apart whatsoever. I thought that was, I don't know. Do you really want to take apart a tablet? Taking apart a notebook or anything, usually you can't, except desktop PCs. Desktop PCs, no problem. There's plenty of room. They're easy to take apart. But taking apart a tablet or a laptop, they never go back together the correct way, even if they have little, like the bottom of my MacBook Pro has, you know, a panel you can take off and put back on. But once I put it back on, it just didn't feel as stiff as it used to. It just never the same. So I wouldn't even touch it. So I guess the lesson should be buy what you need. Buy the bigger 128 and get an external, get an extra micro SD card or external USB hard drive or whatever, because it does have USB ports so you can plug that in. It's not worth it. It's not worth the hassle. You're just going to destroy this thing. Okay, guys, I think that's it for today's show. I want to thank you for listening. Our show is found on r32media.com. That's R, the number 3, the number 2, media, M-E-D-I-A, which for some reason I misspelled last podcast. So it's r32media.com. And we do this show once a week. This is the Business and Technology Show. There's some other shows, archive of the Teaching English in Japan podcast, with over 60 episodes there. If you're interested in traveling to Japan or teaching in Japan, it's a pretty good show. And I'm sure in the near future, there's going to be video of this show and hopefully a co-host. I'm trying to work on a co-host right now and other podcasts as well. So we're building back up to at least 2 shows a week. But for now, we'll do 1 show a week with some blogging in between. So head on over to r32media.com and check it out. And if you want to get in touch with us, just email me ett808@gmail.com. Okay, see you next week. Bye-bye.